You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Behold the Bodmer Papyri, containing 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. It's the oldest copy that we have of these letters, dating back to the 4th, maybe even the 3rd century. The story of the papyri's discovery near Nag Hammadi, secretly assembled with other pagan, Gnostic, and early Christian texts, and it's eventually being smuggled out of Egypt to Switzerland in the 1950s, is the stuff of Indiana Jones screenplays. According to 2 Peter itself, it was composed by no less than the Apostle Peter himself, an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. But for many, many reasons, most biblical scholars have concluded that the epistle is
pseudepigraphal,
which means written under a false name. Besides being linguistically different from 1 Peter, it apparently uses Jude, a much later epistle. It alludes to 2nd century Gnosticism, has weak external support. It's not mentioned in contemporary writings, and the topic is encouragement in the face of a delayed second coming, a very late problem to be addressing. It tries to comfort nervous Christians by explaining that God has postponed the second coming of Christ so that more people will have the chance to reject evil and find salvation. It could have been written as late as 160 of the Common Era, but regardless of its authorship or date, it's got a few gems to offer us, including our passage today, an encouraging step-by-step tutorial on how to be an effective and fruitful follower of Jesus. So, after the initial salutation, be sure to listen for how godliness and mutual affection and love all connect with one another.
Our words of wisdom are from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. To those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us, through these things, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants of the divine nature.
For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love.
For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
One day, a wealthy man was riding down a street in the back of his limousine. When turning a corner, he looked out the window and he noticed two men on the side of the road eating grass. He ordered his driver to stop and got out to investigate. He asked one of the men, "Why are you eating grass?" "Because, sir, we don't have money for food," the poor man replied. "Wow, come along with me then." "But, sir, I have a wife and two kids." "Bring them along, and you come too," he said to the second man. "But, sir, I have a wife and seven kids." "Bring them all," the wealthy man said. So all of them piled into the limo, which was no easy task, despite how big the car was. Once underway, one of the poor fellows said, "Sir, we really appreciate your kindness." The rich man replied, "Oh, no, it is I who appreciate all of you. the grass at my house is 3 feet tall. Such a kind man. Which is appropriate for today's spiritual practice. Gemilut Chesed. In broad definition in English, this Hebrew word is rendered as kindness. But biblical scholars have complained that there really is no precise equivalent to Gemilut Chesed in English. And I apologize for butchering the Hebrew. In fact, the phrase most often associated with it in the Bible, loving kindness, was invented by Miles Coverdale in the 16th century for use in the Coverdale Bible. Some Bibles translate it as mercy and others as steadfast love. But however it's translated, it's been an important principle in Judaism. Long ago, the Talmudic sage Simon the Just wrote, "The world stands upon three legs, Torah, temple service, and acts of loving kindness." In fact, in days gone by, rabbis have gone so far as to question the Jewishness of anyone who didn't practice Gemilut Chesed, saying, "One who engages in Torah study and doesn't become involved in doing deeds of kindness is like one who has no God." Another spiritual practice we'll cover later this summer is tzedakah, or generosity. And that has more of an expectation of giving a fixed amount, say the standard 10%. But acts of kindness, on the other hand, have no fixed amount or duration attached. These are not acts or deeds that are legislated, but are done out of a commitment to the well-being of the community. Traditionally, Gemilut Chesed has focused on honoring one's parents, promoting harmony among people, offering hospitality to travelers, visiting the sick, providing a dowry for an impoverished bride, or caring for the dead, especially an indigent person. And with regard to caring for the dead, ancient rabbis joked that this act alone is pure kindness, since the recipient is not likely to return the favor. But in the spirit of helping those who are in need in the here and now, almost every Jewish community sponsors a free loan society, often a 501c3 nonprofit governed by a board. When I asked my friend Rabbi John Linder about this, he sent me a link to Phoenix's own FLS. People apply for loans to cover rent, food bills, medical expenses, and other basic needs. The money is lent without interest and with the expectation that the loan will be repaid if and when the recipient can repay it. When the money is returned, it's loaned out again. It's not charity, and there's no burdensome interest payments. I love the logo of the International Jewish Free Loan Association that combines the recycling logo with the Star of David. Another important aspect of Gemilut Chesed is hospitality. The Talmudic sages were so convinced of the importance of hospitality that they underscored its importance by telling an apocryphal story that describes the fall of Jerusalem to the lack of hospitality among her residents. The story goes like this. A certain man had a friend named Kamsa and an enemy named Bar-Kamsa. The man held a huge feast of his friends and ordered his servant to invite his friend Kamsa. But by mistake, the servant invited the man's enemy, Bar-Kamsa. When Bar-Kamsa arrived at the feast, the host accosted him, demanding that he leave. Bar-Kamsa begged him not to do him such an indignity, as the room was filled with influential sages and rabbis. Quietly, Bar-Kamsa offered to pay the man for whatever food he would eat. The man refused. Bar-Kamsa then offered to pay for half the banquet if he would be allowed just to stay. Again, the man refused. In desperation, Bar-Kamsa offered to pay for the entire banquet if only he be spared the embarrassment of having to leave. The host responded by having Bar Kamsa forcibly removed from the feast. Well, Bar Kamsa was humiliated and angry, even more so because that room had been filled with all those sages and rabbis, not one of whom came to his defense and the defense of hospitality. So, in retaliation, Bar Kamsa went to the Roman emperor and convinced him that the Jews of Jerusalem were plotting against him. Shortly thereafter, the city was destroyed by the Romans. Hospitality is essential to spiritual practice. It reminds you that you are part of a greater whole. It's about putting others first, and in so doing, takes you out of the center. Everything you have, your clothes, your food, your car, your home, your job, your family, the very thoughts you think are in one way or another only possible because of the labor and love of others. The teacher Ben Zoma used to say, when about to eat bread, ponder what labor Adam had to carry out before he obtained bread to eat. He plowed, he sowed, he reaped, he bound, he threshed and winnowed and selected the ears, he ground and sifted, he kneaded and baked, and then at last he ate. Whereas I get up and find all these things done for me. When you stop to ponder this, you can't help but be grateful for all that is done for you. Yeah? That's why Jewish sages have taught that it is forbidden to enjoy anything in the world without first reciting a prayer of thanksgiving. So many things are given to us that the enormity of our debt is incalculable. It cannot be repaid, nor can it be ignored. Gemilut Chesed is the act of working off a little bit of this cosmic debt by engaging in acts of kindness and treating everyone and everything with the utmost respect. And the more Gemilut Chesed you do, the more kindness you evoke in others. It is this mutual obligation in giving, caring, and kindness that gives Gemilut Chesed its power and makes it a deeply spiritual practice. If you're looking for universal truth, I'd say you're getting close with this. Sages, philosophers, and even record-breaking pilots agree. No kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. A single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. Amelia Earhart. Gemilut Chesed transforms your life from one of taking to one of giving and receiving, which are made up of 1,000 kindnesses, large and small, all connected one to the other. As our text for today says, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. Rabbi Rami says that one of the most effective acts of Gemilut Chesed for him is to write thank you notes to helpful people. He keeps a stack of stamped note cards handy and uses them regularly. He writes to store managers, authors of books that have moved him, and to friends now and again. Similarly, he goes out of his way to praise helpful employees to their managers, who normally only hear complaints. One of Rami's friends sets a goal of saying thank you to at least 10 strangers every day. And this is so doable. Speak pleasantly to the bank teller. Be kind to the cashier at the grocery store. Drop coins into an expired parking meter for a stranger. Give a single parent a night off by offering to take care of her children for an evening. Hold doors open for people. It's just that simple. As William Penn reminded us, if there is any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. Friends, the world is full of horrors, hate, and injustice, the likes of which are hard for us to comprehend. There is no end to the inhumanity that we see being visited upon our fellow human beings on a daily basis. War, famine, and hatred, disrespect, injustice, and violence of every possible stripe. To even suggest practicing loving kindness in the face of such profound evil and brutality seems naive at best and complicit at worst. But what would Jesus have us do? Just throw up our hands in frustration, walk away, feather our own nests while the world suffers? No. Jesus practiced gemilut chesed, acknowledging the humanity and dignity of women, children, the poor, the sick, the stranger. Despite the enormity of the problems and the inertia of the status quo, he acted on behalf of the people right in front of him. And his behavior wasn't something original to him. As Rabbi Linder said to me, Jesus knew the Jewish playbook and lived it. Common ground, brother. Absolutely. And in a world that seems hell-bent on dividing and conquering right now, the common ground of practicing loving kindness is vital to our future, especially when you remember that Jesus expected us to extend hospitality to everyone, even to our enemies. Look, if you wave this spiritual practice off as just some pie-in-the-sky, goody-two-shoes, feel-goodism, that's your prerogative. But I can tell you that you're sorely mistaken. Demonstrated by veteran practitioners on a systemic scale, loving kindness demonstrates courage, imagination, and compassion, despite there being no guarantee of changing the world. But the good news is, Gemilut Chesed is also an entry-level spiritual practice. You can start small, right where you are. And as you make kindness your way of being in the world, you'll find more and more opportunities to practice that you otherwise would never have seen or even imagined. The rabbis teach it. Jesus lived it. Second Peter affirms it. Gemilut Chesed, simple acts of kindness, applied in even seemingly insignificant circumstances in our daily lives, can not only help make us better human beings, but as 2 Peter suggests, helps make us more effective and fruitful followers of Jesus. And who knows, it might just change the world along the way. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information, or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.